Teacher friends, welcome to the season 7 premiere of the This Teacher Life podcast. I am incredibly excited to deliver this amazing new idea that is going to absolutely help 100% of teachers in their classroom during this upcoming school year. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. It is about practical, engaging, fun, data-driven things that can absolutely bring your teacher life to a whole nother level. It is filled with motivation, it is filled with strategies, it's filled with stories for real-life teachers just like you, because we understand that living this teacher life is so fun, but it can also feel so complicated. But guess what? The idea that I'm sharing in this episode is simple, it's strategic, and it's how to create an amazing classroom climate using competition with the game of Plinko. You heard me correctly. If you are a fan of The Price is Right, if you are a fan of game shows, if you're just a fan of free ideas that can absolutely help with behavior management and classroom management, you're in the right place. And if you haven't already, absolutely click like or subscribe or follow depending on the podcast platform that you are listening on. So every single week you get these episodes directly downloaded for free into your audio device, because I want this to be your best school year yet. In fact, I think that this season, season 7 of the This Teacher Life podcast, is going to be the best season yet. It is going to be full of more ideas, more humor, more strategies than we have ever seen before. And I don't want you to miss a single second. I don't want you to miss a single strategy. So if you are looking for something incredible to make this school year really stinking fun, and it takes no time and no prep, then let's get into the details. Welcome to the season premiere. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I wanted to start season 7 with an absolute banger, because I understand, as a classroom teacher who has been in the classroom for over 16 years now, that one of the biggest shifts that we have seen is student behavior, classroom management, and behavior management. And we can complain about it, or we can be absolutely strategic about shifting it and leveraging it for learning, because honestly, our kids are innovative, our kids are energetic, our kids are really creative. And what we have to do now as educators, whether we like it or not, are take those skills, take those talents, and say, okay, as a teacher, game on, let's go. In fact, this idea is based off of a game, specifically a game show. I'm a huge game show fanatic. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I love integrating gaming into the classroom. I've done tons of episodes on class competitions that involve decks of cards, that involve the game of Uno, that involves something called spinning and winning. And so what I wanted to do was take those things using Yahtzee dice and decks of cards and just toys, but really show kids that as teachers, we understand that they are learning tools. And one of my most favorite games of all time is the game show Price is Right, where they have a segment that people go wild for, and it's Plinko. And I am hoping that every single one of you is listening and knows the icon Bob Barker and his skinny microphone that he would use in the 80s and 90s. I lived for that skinny microphone. In fact, I have a skinny microphone in my classroom, and sometimes I go full Bob Barker. And so what I wanted to do was create the energy and the excitement of when they roll out that giant Plinko board and contestants have to determine, is the blender $35 or is it $75? Newsflash, it's $75, okay? Because everything is way more expensive than what you would predict on the game of The Price is Right. So basically, these contestants would have to determine what the price was in order to earn what are called Plinko chips, which are these basically these weighted discs that you would walk up the stairs to the Plinko board, and you would drop these chips through this like pegged board, and they would fall into specific slots. And every single slot has a different numeric value. Some of the Plinko slots are worth $0, $500, $1,000, but right in the middle of the Plinko board is the $10,000 slot. And that's what you want. So the goal is to earn as many Plinko chips as possible. In the game, you can earn up to 5. So best case scenario, a contestant can walk away with $50,000 just by playing the very best round of Plinko. Okay, so I wanted to paint the picture and set the stage of what that means on the game show. The energy in that segment is huge. Bob Barker loved Plinko. Now Drew Carey, the new host of the show, loves Plinko. I've never seen a contestant be like, oh, Plinko, I wish I wouldn't have gotten this game. Like, people are falling over themselves. They are like crying on the floor when that board comes out. And let's take that word board. When that board comes out, we can access things like Plinko boards, or we can just say kids are going to be bored. I would rather try to take something silly that kids find significant and shift the board to the way that is going to get them motivated, that's going to get them listening, that's going to get them learning, that's going to get them laughing. Like, that's the kind of way that I want to shift I'm bored to, girl, bring out the Plinko board. And I have a Plinko board in my classroom. It was actually a gift. Because my family and friends know how much I love game shows, they do seem to find these really wacky, random things at Walmart or at Costco, and they buy them for me. And I love them so much for that. So do I have an actual Plinko board in my room? Yes, I do. Okay? Do you need that for this? No, friends. I am delivering the best ideas that can also be completely free. Because there is a digital version of the Plinko board that you can use in your classroom for zero cost. In fact, I'm going to link the free online Plinko peg game in the show notes. So if you're like, girl, I don't want to have a whole Plinko board in my classroom, I don't want to spend money, no worries, I got you covered. I'm going to link the free Plinko board in the show notes of this podcast, so you can just click and go and have a great time, okay? But regardless of whether you're using a physical board because you have found it on Amazon, okay, or at the Walmarts or the Costcos, or you're gonna make one, some of you out there are freaking like Bob Vila, and you know your way around the Pinterest, because I have seen this, all right? A friend of mine recently built a Plinko board. They made reflectors, or they took reflectors and they made Plinko chips with reflectors, like bike reflectors. They handcrafted the whole thing. It was a work of art. I don't have the patience for that. I don't know how to use tools. I am not a Pinterest girly, okay? But if that is you, you do you. I am cheering you on. You are a legend, all right? So make your Plinko board, buy your Plinko board, or do a digital version of our free Plinko board. It does not matter because we are going to set this up the exact same way, all right? The whole goal is that you're going to target some sort of misbehavior, annoying behavior, frustrating behavior. And now it's time to get real and raw. What is a behavior that comes out at the beginning of the school year that frustrates you, that annoys you, that drives you crazy? That if you could eliminate it at the beginning of the school year to get some momentum and really instill a positive mindset into yourself and to your students, what would that behavior be? Target that. Is it that kids don't bring pencils to the classroom? Is it that kids don't bring a charged Chromebook to the classroom? Is it that your students can't keep their hands off of each other and they just touch each other incessantly? Is it that students are constantly blurting or interrupting you? Like, what is the behavior? Pick it. And then say, all right, that's what we're going to go all in for this very first competition of the year. Now, if you're not listening to this when this premieres at the beginning of this school year, guess what? It can be multiple behaviors. It can be multiple things later on in the year. But anytime you're introducing something at the start of the school year, I think we have to make it super simple and super strategic. Then what we're gonna do is habit stack. Once kids have developed those positive habits that and get that positive momentum, then you can start stacking. But I'm going to be honest. In August or September, if you are like, here's what I'm looking for every single day. Every single day, 100% of you have to bring pencils. Every single day, 100% of you have to wait your turn before you speak. 100% of you have to make sure that you're keeping your hands to yourself in the bathroom. 100. That's just not realistic. It's not. Okay, we have to kind of get our feet wet at the beginning of the school year. We have to build that kind of momentum. So depending on when you're listening to this, strategically decide how many behaviors or actions or expectations do you want to have for kids to earn Plinko chips that they can use at the end of the class period. Okay, so what you can do is you can say, hey, you can earn up to 5 Plinko chips for this class period or for this learning block. If you're a middle school or a high school teacher, you have a natural end time of 1 class period where they can earn up to 5 Plinko chips, all right? If you teach elementary school, maybe it's during morning block or afternoon block. So you're just segmenting your time like a little bit differently, and that's totally appropriate. The younger your students, the more segments that you're going to need to create in order for them to earn up to 5 Plinko chips. A remix of this could be that instead of they are earning up to 5, that you automatically give them 5 at the start of the class period. And the goal is for them to keep those 5 Plinko chips. Really, it's just a slightly different psychological approach. It's a slightly different mindset, whether you want to have them earn the Plinko chips during the period or during the time block, or say automatically, just for walking through the threshold of this door, you are getting 5. The goal is to keep them and then take those away as needed. You get to determine what's best for your teaching style. You get to determine what's best for the age group and the ability of your students. But those are two really cool ways that you can approach it. But 5 is always the maximum that I do during a certain time block. All right? So, let's say hypothetically that the expectation is that students are going to raise their hand in order to share something, and your reading block is 50 minutes. After 10 minutes, if there have been no blurts or interruptions, boom, they earned a Plinko chip. Then from 10 minutes to 20 minutes, there unfortunately was a couple of blurts. Kids were starting to get a little antsy. It's all right, we're now at minute 20. We did not earn the Plinko chip for that time block. And you tell them that. It shouldn't be a surprise. Like we are training up our kids. This is, some people are like, it's the Pavlovian theory. Like you're just training kids to behave. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't see that as a negative thing, especially at the beginning of the school year. Our kids need reminders. Our kids need trained up. The reason why classical conditioning works is because it's incredibly powerful for human behavior. All right? So then from minute 20 to minute 30, there were no blurts. There were no interruptions. Boom! Okay, they got another Plinko chip. Now they're at two. Then from 30 to 40, they were rocking and rolling. They were working independently on some independent practice, and they were super focused, and they raised their hand if they needed help. Now they're at three Plinko chips. From minute 40 to minute 50, they started getting a little antsy, okay? They were ready to head to recess. They were ready to move on to that next class period, so they didn't earn it. But now you've got three Plinko chips. All right. Then what you would do is you would have three students come to the front of the room to drop those Plinko chips. How are you going to pick those three students based off of those three Plinko chips? Well, it can be completely random. It could. If you've got popsicle sticks, I believe in popsicle sticks. I put them in a Jiffy jar. What's a Jiffy jar? It is a peanut butter jar that still has the Jif label on it. So I can get students participating in a jiffy. Okay. Ooh, first pun bell of the season. I love that. So you can randomly draw popsicle sticks to get students engaged. Or what you can do is maybe you had three students absolutely crush it during the class period. They were being polite. They were being respectful. They were encouraging others to follow the classroom expectations. So maybe you're inviting those three students up to the front of the room. All right, maybe you've got a student who's particularly squirrely, all right? They're having a difficult time transitioning from summertime to school time, all right? And so maybe you do a little side deal, all right? A little undercover, under the table side deal with the student because they are desperate to drop one of those Plinko chips, but they just can't quite rein it in. Maybe you say to that student, hey, I would love for you to be somebody who drops the Plinko chip today. I'm just going to tell you that during minute one of this class period, during minute one of this math block, I want you to be able to drop one of these Plinko chips. So I just want to have this conversation proactively. If you can make this time spectacular and help us earn one of the chips, I want you to know that I'm going to let you drop one. Having that proactive conversation with the kid to motivate them because they want to get 10,000 points for the class. All right. So those are some strategies on how you're going to actually distribute the Plinko chips so we can earn points. Now, I'm going to tell you all about what we do with these points, how we track these points, what's the end result of this game. But while we are cooking up this idea, I want you to know that this is just one of literally hundreds of ideas that I am going to be sharing over the course of the next school year. In fact, I have taken my best of my best ideas and structured them in a strategic way that are perfectly designed for passionate teachers like you who want more ideas. Maybe you're feeling burnt out. Maybe you're feeling stressed out. Maybe you are new to the profession, or maybe you want to renew your passion for the profession because you kind of just feel like you're coasting. If you want tons of ideas and the opportunity to learn and grow and be motivated with hundreds of other teachers across the United States while earning official PD credits, then I want to officially invite you to something called the Awesome Academy for Teachers. The Awesome Academy for Teachers is a 6-course virtual PD series that is happening during this school year. It is 6 courses filled with ideas on classroom management, behavior management, building relationships with students, social and emotional learning, creating a better climate and culture for your school, and making sure that you are the best personally and professionally, because I want this school year to be your best year yet. And I genuinely mean that. So I get to guide you through these 6 fun, flexible virtual courses while you earn PD credit, while you get ideas just like the one I am sharing in this episode. This is not too good to be true. And the good news is that registration for the Awesome Academy is still open. The very first course starts in September, and throughout the entire year, I guide you along in these 6 courses. To learn more about it, you can go to monicagenta.com/awesome academy. That's monicagenta.com/awesome academy to get signed up, because I do think that this could be one of the best decisions that you make for this upcoming school year, especially if you love fun strategic ideas, you love the concept of earning 90 hours worth of PD credits, and you want to get unstuck or reigniting that passion for this profession because you're kind of feeling a little burnt out. This is awesome, and that's why it's called the Awesome Academy for Teachers. I'm going to put a direct link for it in the show notes, and if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. I would love to laugh and learn with you in the Awesome Academy this school year. Now, I'm very excited to tell you about some of the details surrounding this competition, because I love doing month-long competitions. Now, I will say month-long competitions work really, really good from about 5th and 6th grade all the way up through high school. So if you are an upper elementary teacher, middle school teacher, or high school teacher, then I think a month-long competition is really, really smart and strategic. A majority, I would say a vast majority of my 16 years of teaching so far have been in that area, and month-long competition is kind of that sweet spot to give kids the momentum, but also dangle that carrot for an appropriate amount of time, all right? Now, if you teach younger than like 4th grade, I think a month is a little bit long, all right? I think that we have to chunk it a little bit differently. So maybe if you teach like 4th, 3rd, or 2nd grade, maybe it's a 2-week competition. If you teach like kindergarten or first, maybe it's a week-long competition. There are those motivators each day because kids can see the Plinko chips falling and you're earning points, but the timeline is just going to be chunked a little bit differently. All right. Now, I did this competition last year in my classroom. I want to tell you, though, I did it as the last competition of the year because I wanted to do something new and different. I had done spinning and winning. I had done a Yahtzee competition. I had done an Uno competition. I had done a deck of cards competition. And all of those have podcast episodes about them. But this was brand new. And I did it in May. All right. And the way that I structured it last year was it was my 7th grade classes versus my 8th grade classes, because last year I was in a K-12 situation. So I wanted my 7th graders to compete against my 8th graders. And I always let my groups pick their team names. Well, the 8th graders turned into 8th grade period 3. That's what they were bringing to the table. That was the energy that they were bringing. 8th grade period 3. I will be honest, they had gotten pretty confident because they won so many competitions last year. Like, they had serious momentum. So they went with 8th grade period 3. My 7th graders went in a very different direction. Their team name that they decided on as a group, like we voted, it was a whole vibe, was the LeBron James Hairline Pla. Now, at the time of choosing that name and at the time of the recording, that was a school-appropriate cultural reference. Is it still? Hard telling. okay? But it's so important to me that if we're gonna do a team name, that it is respectful, that it is, it can be silly, but I'm certainly not going to allow anything like disrespectful or degrading or anything like that. So when they tell me these things, they're generally references to memes or trending things on social media. So I looked it up and the kids were like, Ms. G, trust us, trust us. And I was like, I do trust you. I just want to like for sure trust you. I don't fully understand it still. I don't know if your students are doing this, but again, at the time, according to my research on the Urban Dictionary, the LeBron James hairline pla was school appropriate. So that was the seventh grader's name. And for the entire month of May, we were earning up to 5 Plinko chips for every single class period. And I was sometimes randomly drawing popsicle sticks to invite students up to drop the Plinko chips that we earned. Sometimes I was strategically picking kids. Sometimes I was making side deals with kids. I'd be like, hey, bro, I really want this for you. Like, let's have a level 10 out of 10 class period and you can drop one of the Plinko chips. And so over the course of the month, it was insanely close. And that's what I love about a competition like this is that 10,000 spot on the Plinko board is a game changer. Because if you are super far behind and one Plinko chip drops into that, you can kind of get back in it, all right? On the Plinko board, there is the one $10,000 slot or 10,000 point slot. And then there were also some zero slots. Now, I'm actually looking right now at the digital version of this game, and it is set up almost exactly how the board in my classroom was set up. 10,000 in the middle, on both sides of that, a zero, on both sides of that, 1,000, on both sides of that, 500, and on the far end, 100. So there are enough like variations of points that kids can be in it, classes can be in it, and really keep it tight throughout the entire thing. I will tell you, were there days where both classes earned all 5 Plinko chips? Yeah. Were there days where classes earned zero? Absolutely. Because one of my biggest recommendations anytime you are doing this Plinko competition with your students or any kind of behavior management or classroom management strategy is we have to be insanely clear and insanely consistent. We understand that when we give students a great deal of wiggle room and are like, oh, well, your behaviors weren't exactly what I was hoping for, but it was okay. So here's the prize. Here's the reward. We are setting ourselves up for a very difficult days moving forward because then it becomes, well, yesterday you led us and we acted like this. So friends, let's be clear. Let's be consistent. All right. So were there days that like one class would earn 5 Plinko chips and another class would earn 0? Yeah. But I will tell you, that is exactly how we teach kids to perform differently, to manage emotions differently, to bring different things, more positive things to the table. All right. Now, I will say, in the very last day leading up to the finale of this competition, the eighth graders had 154,600 points. The seventh graders, the LeBron James hairline pla, had 153,800 points. I want to share that data with you because that's how close it was leading up to the final day of the competition. On the very last day, it was 154,600 points to 155,900 points. The eighth graders kind of spiraled and the seventh graders leveled up. And in a crazy change of events, the seventh graders ended up winning the very last competition of the year. It was fair. I was clear. I was consistent. Unfortunately, the eighth graders just didn't bring their best foot forward on that final day. Additionally, one of the seventh graders had an amazing performance in the last week, and they hadn't gotten many 10,000. And out of the clear blue, the seventh graders were figuring out how to drop in $10,000 Plinko chips into the board. Okay. So with that said, I understand that a lot of you listening are like, well, how do we compete if I see the same kids all day long? And I'll give you a couple of ideas on what you could do in that situation. You could create mini teams within your own classroom. Like you, if you have 20 kids in your class, you could strategically create teams, four teams of five. And they are kind of competing in small groups. That's a really cool way to create teamwork, to create classroom camaraderie. That's one thought. But if that's not a route that you feel like is going to be highly beneficial for this group of students, what you could say is, no, we're playing as an entire third grade classroom family. We're playing as an entire first grade classroom family, and we are not competing against anybody but ourselves. And we're going to try to hit a numeric goal by the end of whatever the timeline is. So if you're doing this with fourth graders, then I would recommend by the end of the month, our goal is to hit 150,000 points for the month if you're doing it one time. You're going to have to do some strategic calculations to figure out, okay, how long is it? How many times per day are we going to let the kids drop the Plinko chips? Strategically, how many do we think is a reasonable amount of points for them to get? And then you create a very unique, very strategic numeric goal for them to hit. And then there's no competition against anybody except for themselves. Now, as with any competition, you're probably thinking, well, what do they get if they win? And what I will always go back to is, I as a teacher could come up with something. I could say, here's what you're going to win. But if they are not seeing that as the prize, therefore they're not going to keep their eyes on the prize, then it's not a reward. I think sometimes what happens with reward systems is we think that kids are motivated, and then you realize, well, I don't even care about that, so why would I comply? I don't even care about the prize that you picked, so why would I have a positive attitude about it? So how do we combat that? Simple. Ask your students. Ask your students, hey, if we're going to do this month-long Plinko challenge, at the end of the month, what would be a prize that you would be super excited about in order to keep you motivated all month long to win that prize? Like, what would that be? Now, as a teacher, you can ask that question, but it gets really frustrating if we don't put some parameters around it. Because you'll be like, anything, I want to bring in my Xbox 360. I don't even think Xbox 360 is a thing anymore. That dated me. What are we on? I'm going to bring in my Xbox 980 or whatever. I don't know what is hot right now, but I'm going to bring in my Nintendo Switch. If that is going to work, great. But if you want to create a parameter, create the parameter of, hey, whatever we do, we have to do it together because I want us to be a team activity. I do not let us have a Chromebook-free day because that's just kids staring at a screen for 50 minutes and that annoys me, all right? I want it to be fun for everyone. I want it to be different for everyone. It cannot take more than one class period. It cannot cost more than X amount of dollars, and you get to determine what that dollar amount is. It could be zero. There are a lot of bomb free prizes out there. But I will give you an example, a real life example from the class competition that I've talked about that I did in May. My seventh graders won. What did they want? Funyuns and fiery Cheetos. And at my local Dollar General, you can get the mini bags of Funyuns and the mini bags of fiery Cheetos. You can get two for a dollar. So I agreed to that. You want to know what else they wanted to do during that one period? I said it cannot take more than one period. They wanted to have fiery Doritos or Funyuns, and they wanted to watch Scooby-Doo. Dead serious. Seventh graders wanted me to stream episodes of Scooby-Doo from YouTube while they ate Funyuns and fiery Cheetos. So that ended up costing me $10 because I had 20 students in that class period. So I spent $10 to have an absolutely marvelous May. Because guess who else had really great behaviors during the month of May? My eighth graders. They didn't win, but they were motivated by this in a slightly different way because they're older and that kind of thing. But $10 created a really, really magnificent May. And honestly, a ton of fun for me. I had so much fun at the end of every class period because I would reserve about 2 to 3 minutes at the end of every class period to drop these Plinko chips. I was just excited as students were when a Plinko chip fell into 10,000. They got excited and so did I. When a Plinko chip would drop into a zero, I was like, wah, 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 right? Like in The Price is Right, it's a very specific like honking sound that happens. But I was so thrilled to do this with students. They were so thrilled to engage with this. In fact, they started having strategies because on my Plinko board, it said Plinko at the top. They started to study the Plinko board and realize that there was strategy on where you set it. They had things called the P strategy, where they would put the Plinko chip on the P of the word Plinko, and they would set it there because they felt like that had better odds of landing in the 10,000. Some students believed in the O strategy, where you would put the circular Plinko chip in the circular section of the letter O because they thought one of the pegs was slightly bent, and if they put it in the O strategy, that it would actually lean a little bit and cause it to fall back into the middle, hopefully directly into the 10,000 point slot. So we tracked Plinko points for the entire month. Then we ended up having Funyuns and Fiery Cheetos, and it fired them up to end the school year on a good note. And I think that this will fire your students up in a positive way to start this school year on a good note. I genuinely believe that when we are doing fun things like creating a classroom climate using simple competitions like the game of Plinko, it sets the stage for what an awesome school year that we are going to have. Classroom management and behavior management doesn't have to be the thing that says, I don't know if I can do it anymore because of student behaviors. I don't know if I have the patience for kids anymore because of all of the chaos they're creating in my classroom. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. And I think things like the idea of the Plinko competition in your classroom can be an absolute awesome advantage for you as a teacher this year. And if you are loving ideas like this, I want to remind you that the Awesome Academy is the place for you. Up to 90 hours worth of PD credits by engaging in 6 fun, flexible virtual courses that you get to complete in time that works best for you during the school year. All of the info and all of the details is at monicagenta.com/awesomeacademy. And I would love for you to check it out and get enrolled. A reminder, all of the links that I've talked about during this episode are in the show notes, so you can click them and check them out. I am insanely excited for you to try the Plinko strategy. I'm insanely excited for you to check out the Awesome Academy. And I'm also super excited for you to be a part of the This Teacher Life podcast as we roll out so many ideas during this school year. I want to thank you for finding this episode and listening and just setting yourself up for an amazing school year. But most importantly, I just want to thank you for living this teacher life.